I don't drink or use any sort of substances. I'm one of those people who was scared straight in childhood by substance abusing relatives. But in my early 20s, I did walk on the high side. I took the high road a few times. I had a few daiquiris and a few margaritas, you know, the popsicle drinks. And I had one or two puffs of marijuana. And one night, I ate a very special brownie. This was in 1984. I was living in San Francisco. I just moved there maybe the year before. And I worked a lowly job in an office downtown. And I lived in a basement studio in a residential neighborhood called the Richmond. But the office job was just my day gig because I was really a writer. And at night, I was attending a workshop with a well-known playwright. It was a small group of people. And this went on several weeks. We were furiously writing our plays and getting them critiqued. And when this workshop was over, the playwright suggested that we continue meeting and critiquing each other's work. And we did. So we met and we helped each other produce our staged readings of our plays. And one night it was my turn to host our playwriting critique group in my little studio. So I came home from work and I tidied things up and I turned my futon into a couch and prepared some refreshments. But I didn't bake anything because one of the members, who I will call Hippie Lawyer, said she was bringing brownies. And the other guests I was expecting, I will call mustache and curly blonde guy. So they arrive, and the plan is for us to read aloud Mustache's Work in Progress, which was a children's play about a nonviolent dragon. And we would read aloud and then give Mustache helpful feedback. And Hippie Lawyer suggested that before we get down to work, we sample her special brownies. Now, and I was already aware that these were unusual brownies because they were all making jokes about them. And also, I was aware that these people had spent much of their lives in an altered state. And they were older than me, and they were, in fact, former flower children. So I had never been high or drunk or anything at that point in my life, and I was a little bit curious about how it would feel. And anyway, I can't resist anything chocolate. So I ate one of Hippie Lawyer's special brownies. And then I don't know what happened after that, but eventually I found myself sitting on my futon couch listening to the others read aloud Mustache's play about the nonviolent dragon. And they would read a few lines and then laugh their heads off. And this infuriated me. And I would say, stop laughing. This scene is not funny. Stop it right now. Stop it. And this would make them laugh even harder. And this went on and on with them saying a few lines, laughing, me yelling at them, laughing some more, until someone decided that the meeting was over. And I walked them out to the street to their cars, with them still laughing, me still yelling at them, until they got in their cars and drove away. And I found myself standing in the middle of the street, just looking up at the sky. And this wasn't dangerous. Late at night in that quiet neighborhood, there wasn't any traffic or pedestrians or anything. I stood there I don't know how long. And then after a while, I lowered my gaze and looked around, and I noticed the landlord's cat. Now, my basement was below a house, and in that house lived a young couple and their two-year-old. So I spotted the landlord's cat crouched between two parked cars. And I despised this cat because its litter box was kept by my interior door. And when I complained to the landlord about this, he said, well, we can't keep it upstairs with us or else the smell will bother us. You know, So we've all had that kind of landlord, I think. And I was helpless, and so I just lived with it and resented it, walking past every time I went in and out of my apartment having to smell this thing. So I guess I had it in for the cat. So I all of a sudden just sort of sprang forward, ran towards the cat. It saw me coming and tried to get away, but I was faster than the cat, and I swooped down and I snatched that cat, and I held on tight, and I held it aloft, and I marched up and down the street announcing to the neighborhood, "I have caught this cat. I have caught this cat." I don't know how long I kept that up. It was really no way of knowing. And then I spotted the door to my apartment. So this was, there's a garage and then the door next to it. And I went in through the door, still maintaining a very tight hold on this cat. And I heard noises in the garage. And I thought, oh my gosh, someone is in the garage. It could be a very bad person in the garage. I better look and see who's in there. So I opened the interior garage door, and there was my landlord staying up late doing his pottery. And I thought, he's a very, very bad man. What am I going to do now? And he said, "Hi there. Are you all right, Gene?" And I didn't answer because you don't talk to bad people. And I tossed the cat into the garage and I slammed the door. And I thought, what do I do now? I have to keep the bad man and the bad cat in the garage. And I looked at the door, and lucky for me, there was one of those sliding latch things up high. So I slid it. And I thought, now I'm safe from the bad man and the bad cat. And I went into my apartment, and I shut the door, and I locked it. And then I went to bed, and I proceeded to have the most terrible, terrifying night of my life because there were hundreds and hundreds of rats all over my apartment and jumping up on my futon and crawling on me, and there were dozens of people coming in through my windows, and it was absolutely terrifying. And there were moments, just moments, when I would remember that about the brownie and that I was high, but most of the night I thought all this stuff was real. So finally dawn came, and I got up and I got ready for work, and I knew that I had been high, and I was very dismayed to see that I was still high, but at least I had an awareness of it, but I was still quite high, and I didn't know that would happen. And I walked down the hallway, and as I passed the garage, I checked, and the landlord and the cat had escaped somehow. And I went out to the street. Now I had to walk like 5 or 6 blocks to the bus stop, and I could barely walk in a straight line, so I was actually staggering through my neighborhood to the bus stop. And then when I got on the bus, I found I didn't have the strength or coordination to hold on to that strap above my head. And so I was falling all over the other commuters every time the bus lurched. And then I got downtown, and I had to walk into the office where I worked. And I just quietly walked into the office and sat at my computer, which was in a public place. And I just hoped that no one would notice that I was high at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I started to do my work. I had a pile of papers. I mostly did data entry. And I looked at the screen, and none of the words or numbers meant anything to me at all. And this was very, very upsetting. And I sat there for about a half an hour staring at the screen until I remembered that people took sick days. There was such a thing as a sick day. Oh, yeah, I can go home sick. So I asked my boss if I could please talk to her privately. And then when I got in her office, for some reason, I decided to tell her the whole story of the brownie and the cat and the landlord. And lucky for me, she thought it was hilarious. And she said that I was welcome to just stay at work and hang out all day. That was all right with her. And I took her up on her offer because I was actually scared to be alone in this state. And then she told the whole office the story. And it made everyone's day. But then I said, well, I'd like to stay, but can I use the phone? Remember, no cell phones back then. Can I use the phone to call my landlord and apologize? And she said, yes, of course. And I had his work number, so I called him at work and explained everything. And he said he did think it was pretty strange, you know, what had happened, but he assumed that drugs were involved. And I didn't need to worry about anything. And so as you can imagine, that was my last special brownie. Thank you.